Take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Psalms, the 33rd Psalm. 33rd Psalm, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse 1, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the device of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of the heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the places of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for the wonderful Word of God, the wonderful Bible, God's Word. Thank you for the privilege of letting us read it tonight, Lord, and hear those wonderful words that let us know just a little bit about who you are and how wonderful and good you are. And tonight, Lord, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom. And I ask you, Lord, to take your word as your word said you would do, and let it not come back void. Take it and use it to your glory and honor. Help this preacher as he preaches, and help us to be hearers of the word to mind you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I think if you read Psalm 33, and you read it very carefully and hear it, I really believe when you get to the end of that, you'll have no doubt of who's in charge. I'm bringing a message tonight on, I just simply entitled, Who's in Charge? We know as Christians, we know as God's people, who is in charge. I hear over and over again, and I rejoice in it, and I see it in my own life, and I hear other people testify to the marvelous work of God and the answers to prayer that God does. It's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see God move and do. It's just something beyond explaining all the greatness and goodness of God Almighty. And I love to hear people talk about how God did something for them. I rejoiced, and I can't really tell you the story, but I rejoiced hearing Donnie and Debbie speak this morning after church about what God done for Sarah this week. I'm so thankful for that, so grateful for what God does. And I hear over and over different people talking about what God has done. Even in the midst of troubles and heartaches and problems, God moves and does something wonderful in their life. That's tremendous. So I do know something, and I believe you know it too. God is in control. He is in charge. Amen. I want to read to you just some verses of Scripture. You just stay where you are, but I want you to listen. They're all out of the book of Psalms, or I think there's one out of Proverbs. But let me read it to you, and I want you to listen. In Psalms 18, the 46th verse says, Let the God of my salvation be exalted. He says in Psalms 21, verse 13, Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. in Psalms 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Another, in Psalms 57, 5th verse, he says, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." The Bible says in Psalms 89:16, In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. In Psalms 97, he says, "For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods." In Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, the 11th verse, he says, "The lofty looks of men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." We find also in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When I read verses like those, I'm reminded of the greatness and wonder of God Almighty and the importance of God's people, all of us exalting Him, lifting His name up, and always exalting Him. A nation needs to exalt Him, God Almighty. I'm reminded of this great nation. I look at this flag, and I know many of you looked at this flag and you served under this flag. I understand that. I realize that. I look at it. I've never served in the armed services of this country, but I look at it as a wonderful, wonderful flag, one that represents the greatness of a great nation that God has allowed to be so. And I am so thankful. I still today, when I'm somewhere where the flag goes by or they begin to play the national anthem, I'm encouraged by it, and there's just something kind of inside me that just does something, does a little flip-flop because of this great nation that God has allowed us to have here in America. There's something special about it. But at the same time, I understand something. The reason this nation is great is because it has a great God. And that's the reason. And I remember that, and I always try to keep that in my mind. That's the reason America has been great down through the years, is because we have a great God. Back some years ago, and I can't tell you when, but in the Sword of the Lord, they came out with an article, and it was entitled "The Hand of Almighty God in American History." And in that, it was written by Lloyd Collins. What I'm going to do is give you some of the statements that Mr. Collins said about American history and about God in the midst of American history. He first of all said, "Christopher Columbus believed in God. The log of his ship 2 days before he landed, 'We will continue until we reach our goal with God's help.'" Then it tells us that it's recorded that when they reached shore, they fell upon their knees and gave thanks to God. See, they knew who was in charge. And I might say to you young people, there's been a move for years and years in many of the school textbooks in the public schools to discredit men like Christopher Columbus and also some of our great leadership. They want to bring down men like George Washington and some of these men that was great in leadership of this country because they did trust in God. And you'll hear all kinds of ideas and things about these men that are not true. They're trying to rewrite history. These men did believe in God, and they trusted God. They put their faith and trust in God, and that's why this country was born and became such a great country. Another thing he said was the first charter of Virginia in 1606 showed that one of their purposes was to bring to those in darkness the Christian religion. That was their purpose. We find, and I mentioned this morning, but the pilgrims in 1620, before they landed at Plymouth Rock, they met in the cabin of their ship, and they drew up the Mayflower Compact. And here's what it said, part of it. "We have undertaken this little settlement of ours on wild and virgin shores of a strange land," and here's what they said, "for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." That's why they came. That's why they landed on this great land of ours. So you young people, and thank God if you're in the Christian school, you won't hear this, but you might hear this kind of stuff somewhere else. That's why America was born. And it was because of the great, wonderful God that America even exists today, that we can even be here to thank God for this flag that we have here. So, and the reason for all of that was they understood a principle. They knew who was in charge. They knew who was the one who was all-powerful and could get something done and would get something done for them. They understood that. Today, most people, many people, let me put it that way, do not understand that. They do not understand that our faith and trust must be in God every single day of our life. Let me read to you a statement a man said. I do not know his name. I don't know what his name is, but I'll read it to you. We find when trouble from England intensified, the colonists met for the first Continental Congress in Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia in 1774. The chaplain got down on his knees in the center of the hall, and all the members of that Congress, can you imagine this, kneeled around him and cried out to God for help. You know why? They knew who was in charge. They understood that. We find also that in this article it says, the evening before the Battle of Bunker Hill, the army gathered and was led in prayer by Chaplain Langdon, president of Harvard College. Now, Harvard College today is probably one of the most liberal places you could ever be. Back then it wasn't. And they were led in prayer by this man. Why? Because they understood a principle. They knew who was in charge. They knew they needed his help. After Washington had crossed the ice-filled Delaware in 1776 and won the great victory at Trenton, he got on his knees and thanked God for the victory. Again, I'm saying to you, I look at areas and even think about the times in our life. And I remember, even as close back, we heard the Desert Storm and things like that. But I did not hear our leadership getting on TV or on radio and saying, thank God for the victory he gave us. That was not accomplished. That was not done. We've lost that in giving God the praise and the thanks for what he has done and what he's done for us here in America. The story goes that a farmer came home one day and told his wife, the British are going to lose this war. She asked him, why do you say that? Are you for sure that that's true? He said, yes, because I saw General George Washington today on his knees in the snow asking God for help. And I say to you again, the reason that he was doing that, he understood who was in charge. So we find that in past days, back in the history of America, there was many great churches, there were many small churches all over this nation who believed that the Bible was the Word of God. They just simply accepted that and believed it. We hear all kinds of arguments today and all kinds of things trying to adopt this T over here and adopt this over there and change this a little bit and believe this and believe that. I want to tell you, you just stick with it. You just stick with the Bible and just believe it's the Word of God. It always has been. It always will be. Just stick with it. Keep it close by you. Read it. Study it. Love it. Believe in it. And don't deviate from it no matter what anybody says. You see, back in those days, there were people who were just men of God who got up and just preached the Bible and believed the Bible. Now, I know there's still those men of God. I understand that, and I know they're still around, and I know they're scattered across this country. Thank God for them. But I want to tell you, it's not like it used to be. It's not like it used to be, because used to be there was more of them. Now it's churches all over. In fact, multitudes of churches are shutting down, just shutting their doors. A man said to me the other day, just this, well, a couple of weeks ago, I don't remember. He said, it looks like our church is going to shut down. Says, just can't get going. Said, don't have very many people, and just looks like it's just going to have to shut down. And so I questioned him about it, and I said, what are you doing about that? And he wasn't a preacher. He was just a man in the church. And he said, I'll tell you what, if it don't get any better, I'm just going to go somewhere else's church. That's the attitude that'll get it shut down. That's the attitude that'll do it. What do you mean, just going? You've already lost, fellow. You've already give up. You've already give it up. The reason it's shutting down, because it's people like you. I wanted to say, truthfully, I didn't say, but it's people like you that won't get behind the preacher and help the preacher and do something for God and get busy out there and go out and visit and knock on doors and do what you're supposed to do and build a work for God. No, you're ready to give up. Go somewhere where they've already got a work going. And willing to go shut that little place down that's a testimony to a community and has been for many, many, many years, has stood fast, but they're willing to walk out. No, you need people who just simply stick with the stuff. Just stick by it and do what's right and live for God and love God and get busy and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus and get them to church and just keep on doing it. That's the way you do it. You do it day in and day out and just keep on doing it. Have a testimony for the Lord. But years ago, they had a lot more of that than they do now. Years ago, you had evangelists coming through, not with a suitcase full of products to sell, but a heart filled with the power of God. If that gets on anybody's toes, it's okay. Because I'm telling you, I get sick and tired of evangelists wanting to come in and just butter up everybody and butter them up and sell something to them and get on down the road. Evangelists are supposed to come in and stir the congregation. In fact, when he leaves, you might be a little mad at him. Or you might be right with God, one or the other. But I want to tell you, evangelist needs to get in and just stir up the people. He's not here to make friendships. He's here to preach the Bible, the Word of God. And years ago, that's what we had. We had old-fashioned evangelists just came through, shake their finger at you, scream from the pulpit, and shake up a community, shake up a church, and get it shook up for God. That's what's needed. Amen. And there's a lot of them you can't find. I'm not saying there isn't out there. I know better than that. But I'm just saying that's what we need. We need that kind of evangelist, not afraid of their faces. Just simply get up and preach. And just preach what's right and do what's right. And no matter what happens, just let it fall where it falls. Amen. That's what you bring evangelists in for. You want them to stir up the congregation. Get them right with God. Amen. Get us right. Do something to us. Amen. Do something to our hearts. That's what it's all about. But I say also, back in those days, you had members who came to church just simply because it was right to go to church. They came to church because they loved the Bible, the Word of God, and they wanted to hear it preached. You didn't have to go on to their door and knock on their door and say, where was you Sunday? Well, we just didn't feel too good Sunday, and we stayed home. It's an amazing thing to me. If one kid gets sick in a family, it takes all five of the rest of them to care for that one kid. I don't know, honey. We must have done wrong. When we had a kid sick, I don't ever remember me and you both staying home to keep the kid in. You remember that? I don't ever remember that. I mean, you just somebody went to church, took the rest of them. Amen. Boy, we've got a society today that don't do that. I mean, you know, just any reason to stay out of church. No, back then, we just had a group of people that just loved God and just walked with God and just got in there and just went to church and done what was right and just kept at it no matter what happened. I mean, members that loved the Lord. They came not to be entertained, but they come to receive a blessing and to be one. It's two-sided. Always two-sided. If you just come for a blessing, you've missed one half of it. For you ought to be coming to be a blessing. Walk into the house of God. You ought to come in here with a heart that says, oh God, yes, I want something from God tonight, but I want you to use me. I want you to use me to be a blessing to someone tonight or a group of people tonight. I want them to know that I'm happy to be in the house of God. And I'm going to give them a friendly smile and a handshake and just love them and do my best to just get behind the preachers he preaches and just get behind this church and do something that needs to be done here and whatever we need to do and just invite people to church and stay busy about those things. That's the kind of membership we need. I mean, amen? That's the kind we need. You see, years and years ago, they did those things. You know why? Because they knew who was in charge. You see, the whole purpose of their living for God was not just to build up one local congregation. That was part of it, but it was to do a work for God. They loved God, and they wanted to do something for God. So they went out, and they scurried the community, and they knocked on doors, and they done things, and invited people to church because they wanted to do something for God. See, they just loved God. And so I say to you today, they knew who was in charge. We ought to get back to knowing who is in charge, you see. You know, we talk about the sports, and we talk about football and basketball and baseball, and talk about golf and all those things. And we talk about them as a problem. Let me say this and get it out right. I did not have any trouble this morning coming to church and not going to a football game. I was in the house of God. Didn't have any trouble tonight coming to church instead of going to a baseball game. I didn't have any trouble today not going out and playing golf today. I didn't have one inch of problem. And you know why that you didn't either? Because it's a heart problem. The reason people do those things is because they got a heart problem. You see, the problem is not sports in America, although it is causing a lot of problems. It's not the problem. The real problem is the heart of man. You see, if you got your heart right, them sports not going to bother you a bit. Amen. They won't bother you. They won't get in front of you going to the house of God and doing what you should do and being where you're supposed to be and serving the Lord. They won't bother you. Why? Because you have a heart that's right, you see. You know what would have to happen if if all of the people in America got their heart right? They wouldn't be any Sunday games. No, they wouldn't be. No, because they'd have to shut it down. They wouldn't nobody come. Amen. See, so the problem, we want to blame it on all of these things around us. But here's the problem. Amen. And we just need to get back and understand who is in charge. I'm going to take you back to the book of Judges for just a moment. A few moments here in Judges, the second chapter. I believe the problem that we see in America is similar to the problem that Israel had that I'm going to read to you about. In Judges, the second chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse number 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he hath done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. I believe personally that the Lord is angry with America. I believe there's been a generation that has arisen that know not the Lord God. And the reason they know him not is because the generation before them did not teach them about the Lord God. Most of the people, you go out here and you knock on doors, you talk to many of the people, they're not interested in God. That doesn't mean we ought to stop, but a lot of them are not interested in God because they was never taught about him. They have no reverence for him whatsoever. Oh, they've heard about him, and oh yeah, they'll probably even claim Christianity, more than likely. But they know nothing really about God. Not really. And because of that, we as a nation has provoked our God to anger. You see, back then, we knew who was in charge. We understood that. We believed it enough that we believe we need to teach it to our children. That we don't leave that out of their training, but they must understand always that God must be first. Always. See, we understood and they understood who was in charge. And yet a people today do not understand that. There's a statement that a man made, and I want to just read it to you. He says, America is like Israel of old, has chose the new morality, which is not new. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. He says, we've chose a morality that is not new. It's old morality. And the basic problem is, there was no king in Israel, so everybody just did what was right in their own eyes. That's what happened back in the book of Judges. You'll find that over and over illustrated in the book of Judges. And what he's saying is that America has done the very same thing. Everybody just basically does that which is right in their own eyes. They have to be doing that because they're not listening to the Bible. They're not doing what God says. And so they've chosen a way to live according to the way they think it's right to live. And that's where America is today. That's why you see our churches, even though we thank God for the church and we thank God for the many peoples here, but there's multitudes more out there that don't care a thing about church on Sunday morning. They don't care a thing about it, you see. And many of God's people today do not get excited about the things of God, are not excited about what God's doing. Again, I want to encourage you. I pray that you'll get a little bit excited about what God's doing even out here in this building program. It's going to give us an opportunity to reach boys and girls for Christ. That's what it's all about. And you ought to get excited about that. That ought to just excite you. That ought to cause us to sacrifice, do whatever we need to do to get the job done, to get this building up and get it accomplished. Why? So we can do something for God. Amen. We ought to get excited about that. We ought to get excited when buses come in full with boys and girls. Boy, that ought to excite you. You see them here on Sunday morning, that ought to excite us. That ought to do something for us, what God is doing, you see. Because God is doing a wonderful thing. That ought to excite you when you see these teenagers coming home from Bible school. And some of them's not home, but some of them come home from Bible school and you realize they're Bible college, being trained for God's work. They're going out there getting ready for the work of God. Now listen, folks, that ought to excite you. And ought to do something for all of us, you see, because God is moving. God is doing something. You ought to get excited about what's going on at Blessed Old Baptist Church. Amen. Is there enough going on? No, there's not enough going on. There never will be. Amen. We want more all the time. We want to see folks saved. We want to do what but you ought to get excited about these things. Get excited about the work of God and what God is doing instead of just living like whatever you want to do according to your own eyes. Whatever seems right to do, you know, I think I'll just do it because that seems right in my own eyes. No, get in your Bibles and find out who's in charge about all these things. You see, God's in charge and He wants us to do it because the Bible says so, you see. See, many, many people in America today do not believe that God is in control of the human affairs. They just do not believe it. Oh, they say they do. But they do not really, really believe that, you see. Because men today are trying to determine their own destiny and what they should do. That's what he said back up there, according to their own eyes. They've forgotten who's in charge. And God Almighty is in charge, you see. Now, because of us forgetting who's in charge and that God is on the throne, because of that, we've reaped atheistic schools in America. If there'd be some way we could raise up some folk from the early 1900s and just raise them up, I know we can't do this, but, you know, I got a weird mind. We raise them up, bring them back here, march them through the public schools. Say, what do you think of this? They would literally turn over. They wouldn't know what to do. They'd want to go back to the grave. They wouldn't believe all that's going on in the public schools today. They would not believe such a thing as that, you see. And we've reaped that because we've turned away from God. We forgot who's in charge. We've turned away from God and we've reaped these atheistic schools. It's no wonder that the public schools are atheistic. It's no wonder whatsoever. We allowed them to turn atheistic, you see. We forgot God. We forgot who's in control. And not only that, this crime thing all over. I know they say crime's getting a little better, but it got way worse. It ain't getting better. People go out here and shoot people. Just like that young man I told you about this morning got shot. A young 19, 20-year-old boy, he got shot. And there he is. That mom and daddy will have to spend the rest of their life grieving over the loss of that young man. A life ending. Well, that's just one. There's just crime everywhere, you see, and there's God-forsaken homes in America. I want to tell you something. I may have told you this before, but my daddy and Donna's daddy both tell the same story. My daddy told us years and years ago about a time when there was a man that around the community that he knew, and he said he was an old drunkard, and he got to because he was beating his wife and doing things like they didn't put up with stuff like that. Now you say, Brother Ross, you advocate that? No, I'm not advocating it. I'm just simply saying to you, they cared back then. They cared that you wasn't going to put up with such foolishness. Now, if you would do that today, you would be in prison. No, not the guy that beat his wife or done something horrible. And let me say on the other side of that, that many times the wives were people who were submissive to their husbands too. Amen? They were submissive to their husbands. And the men needs to be kind and gracious to their wives. Amen? Need to do that because it's right and proper to do that, you see. Well, the problem is we forgot who's in charge. We forgot we're going to have to answer one of these days to God Almighty for all that we do and say. Not only that, you see all the drugs and you see the abortion, you see the pornography and the permissiveness all across America. You see those things years ago that was not there. We in America has forgot who is in charge, you see. Now, these are just problems, but they're not the problem. I just mentioned them. They're not the problem. The problem is causing these problems. See, we look and we say, oh, the drug problem, the abortion problem, and all these other, yes, they are, they're problems, but they're a result of the main problem. We forgot God. And we've left God out. That's why the abortion's there. That's why the drug problems are there, you see. That's why they're there, because we have forgot God Almighty, and we forgot who is in charge, you see. We want to today, we want to turn all these things over, our security and all the things that our benefits and all these things over to a government. We've taken it hands out of the hands of God. Instead of trusting God Almighty, we put our trust in government. Listen to me, folks, that's a bad deal. Don't put your trust in government. Put your trust in God Almighty. You see, we've replaced dependence on God with dependence on government. And the people today has learned how to be dependent on government. We need to learn to be dependent on God Almighty. Well, the problem is we've forgotten who's in charge. One man said this, and I'm going to quote what he said. Too many of our people today act as if there were no God, no Ten Commandments, no prospect of a day of judgment, but only material and physical needs that must be satisfied on any terms. Pretty good statement concerning what's happened in America. We was going down to Brother Luke and Sister Hannah's wedding, and Donna said, look at there on that billboard. And it said on the billboard, God's top 10. And it had the Ten Commandments listed. I thought that was all right. Amen. God's top 10. You know, let's get back to God's top 10 instead of the world's top 10. Amen. And we find here that just exactly what he said. We've just acting like there's no God. You see, we don't care. Sister Betty showed me a Christmas card she had received from some folk that she knew. And she said, isn't this blasphemous? And on the front of it, it showed a church house. It showed the Santa and his reindeer out here parked. He was getting off going into the church. And then on the inside, you opened it up on the inside, and there he was, he had his hat off, kneeling before a baby Jesus in a manger. Let's put these two together. I think when I said to Jerry, he said, yeah, let's marry these together. Santa, oh, I used his name. But this guy, this red-suited guy, and Jesus, let's put them together, you see, because they're both equal here. He's kneeling down to her, but let's get him into the picture. I want to tell you what, get him out of the picture. And keep him out of the picture, you see. That's why in America we forgot who is in charge, you see. Israel would prosper. You remember the story they in the book of Judges. They would prosper when they lived by the word of God. That's when they prospered. Now, I'm not talking about just material prospering. America right now is prospering. Let this preacher say something, I'll go on record and saying it. And you can call me a false prophet, it don't happen, but it's all going to fall. It's going to fall because of the sin of America. You know, I mentioned Y2K, and I don't say a whole lot about it. You know I don't. I mention it once in a while. I've told you to be wise. And did you know our governor of Indiana got on a program and said, now, we think we've got everything fixed. We think everything's just going to work fine. But just in case, be wise and do like you would a storm. Bad storm. Put some things up and just be prepared. Now, folks, I really, honestly, I mean, I don't think we're going to, I don't know, but I don't think we're going to suffer a whole lot of Y2K. I don't really know that. I think there's going to be problems, definite problems. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. I don't know all they are, but I think it was Brother Tim Burcham was telling me they sure doing a lot of work out there. They're going to have a big crew, Brother Dave. I don't know whether you're working out there that night or not, but they're going to have a big crew out there that night just in case. The power plant. And what I'm saying to you is, but what if Y2K don't amount to much? Have you been hearing the reports about the terrorist? I won't say it from this pulpit because Johnny Waterman told me about it, but I won't say it. And the reason I won't, Johnny, is because of children. But you want to ask Johnny what they came and reported to his daddy at the Senate up in Indiana, what they ordered, what they've got in place. You can ask him, and I don't mind him saying it, but I don't want to say it for children out here. I don't want to scare them. I don't want to get them all stirred up. What I'm saying is, you just better know something. There's going to be some hard, difficult things that's coming. And the reason is because of the sin of America. That's what I believe. And I believe with all of my heart we have such a wonderful God that has promised to take care of us and watch over us and meet our needs. I believe that with all of my heart. If I didn't, I'd just simply quit preaching. I believe in that kind of God. I believe that He is what He says He is. I believe all. But it does not mean that He will not let us go through some very difficult times. It does not mean that. And you better look at the Scriptures if you believe that. That God would not let you go through a difficult time here in America before He comes. I don't know what He's going to do. All I'm saying is be wise, stay close to the Lord. Keep your spiritual life correct. Keep on good spiritual ground, good praying ground. Just be close to the Lord. Because you see, it's not just December the 31st. It's on after that. What's going to be accomplished? What's going to happen, you see? All these reports, there's terrorists all over that is planning things. We knew, Brother Johnny did tell me that. There's some of them they've already stopped. They've found them. They stopped them. And they've arrested them. But you also know that there's others they haven't stopped. What is going to happen? I'm not saying that to try to scare people. I'm simply saying you stay close to the Lord. We've reaped this because of our nation not loving God and not remembering who's in charge. We've reaped it. And what I'm saying to us is we better remember who is in charge in America. What we need is a great spiritual awakening. We need to be woke up spiritually, and we need to get on our knees before God Almighty when He chastises us. We need to remember God is in the business of chastising. You understand what I'm saying? Pastor Jerry and I was talking, and he said, he told the, I think it was his Sunday school class, told his Sunday school class, he said, you know, what we need to remember is this. Every trial that we go through is not a trial. Many times it's chastising. And every time we want to say, oh, it's just a trial that God is putting us through. Well, certainly the trials are there. And many times there is trials, but there's also chastisement. that God chastises his people. We need to remember that side of it too. Amen? So simply remember who's in charge. God has a plan. And his plan is for us to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. And then he will hear from heaven and will forgive our sin and heal our land. That's God's plan. And God expects us to remember that and do accordingly as his plan is. So again, I say to you, let's remember who's in charge. We are living in a nation and a community here even around us that has forgotten who's in charge. We as God's people had better be sure we don't forget. He must be the one that is allowed to rule our life. Amen. And tell us and teach us in the way that we should go. Let him guide us with his eye. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you for the word of God, for your love for us, your kindness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the promises of thy book. And Father, you help us in these troubled times to just stand fast on the Bible, the word of God, to love you like we should, be faithful, even no matter what comes our way, just to love you, be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.